stand by. We're about to begin. Good day, and welcome to the Center for American Progress press call. Today's conference is being recorded. All lines are currently in listen-only mode. If you would like to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad to join the question queue. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Andrea Peirce. Please go ahead.
Hello, and thank you for joining today's press call, our release of Alternative Jobs Day data. As a reminder, this call is being recorded, and by joining this call, you consent to being recorded. Today, we are going to be joined by President and CEO of the Center for American Progress Action Fund, Tom Perriello. He's also counselor to the Center for American Progress. He'll be followed by Adam Hirsch, economist at the Center for American Progress, and Michael Linden, Managing Director of Economic Policy. Tom Perriello will kick us off. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. You know, this Friday is a day we would normally be going over the new job market data being released, but of course we're not getting that data because of the government shutdown that's been driven by the most extreme wing of the Republican Party. And the cost of this is not just the data, but it's the economy that underlies it. This is having real impacts on American jobs, on American families, and definitely on the American recovery. And this is just the latest in a string of tactics and ideology that has cost us a more robust economic recovery. As Adam Hirsch will go through, we can actually put numbers behind the kind of job growth we have sacrificed because of the Tea Party holding the economy hostage. We also know at this point that these numbers are real. If we were at the pre-recovery, pre-sequester budget levels, we would be seeing low unemployment rates and high job growth. So these are not tactics that should be measured in terms of the political points this is costing the Republican Party, but on the economic growth it's costing the American people. And as we talk about this issue of compromise and solving the debt crisis and the current government standoff, it's important to remember just how much progressives and the Democrats have given up. Just in going from the pre-sequester numbers to the post-sequester numbers and agreeing to 100% of the Republican position on the budget, we are already working within the kind of austerity space that has choked off this economic recovery. Even at the 1056 levels, the higher levels, that is a post-Budget Control Act level, not the kind of investments in America's competitiveness and American growth that could have been. So we don't have the data today to show what we already know, which is that this extreme position of the far right has been costing American jobs and American growth. And this is not the right approach, and it's not what the American people want. And poll after poll and meeting after meeting, it's clear that jobs and economic recovery are the priority for the American people. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Adam Hirsch to go through the numbers and the methodology of where this jobs report could be if we had pursued a different path. Adam?
Thank you, Tom. So the shutdown is a reminder of just how critical a role that our government plays in so many aspects of the economy, and the news has been full of great stories this week really highlighting that. But one of these roles is in providing quality statistics about the state of the economy. Businesses look at this to make investment and hiring decisions. Financial investors look at this to decide how they're going to allocate capital in the economy. Big one is the Federal Reserve is looking at this to in its monetary policy making decisions, deciding when they're going to start the QE3 taper. Without the data, they're not able to do those things. The report that we would normally get today for the September employment situation is going to be delayed. We'll eventually have those numbers, but if the government shutdown continues through next week, this is the week when the BLS would be normally conducting the survey of the labor market. It's likely that we won't have any numbers for October released next month. We also won't see some of the key price indexes released next week. So not having these data has a real economic impact. But let's look at what we might have imagined to seen if we had not been down this road of fiscal austerity that Tom has talked about began when Republicans took over the House of Representatives and many state houses across the country in January 2011. So if we had not adopted these policies of austerity, we can imagine that the government expenditures would have continued at a level that was proportional to the size of the economy from where we were before the Recovery Act spending kicked in 2009. That's about 36% of U.S. potential economic output or potential GDP. And if we go back to that time and imagine that the fiscal austerity had not happened over most of these past 3 years, we can calculate where the economic recovery might have brought us. And when we go through this exercise, we find that in September, we might have seen this morning that the U.S. employers added more than 260,000 jobs across the country, that the unemployment rate for last month would have fallen below 6% for probably the first time since before the Great Recession. And if you add up all the impact across this time, you'd see that we would have about 2.4 million more jobs in the U.S. economy than have actually been added. We'd be about 8.2 million new jobs since December 2010. Without the austerity, instead of averaging job growth of about 179,000 jobs per month, we'd be averaging about 256,000 jobs per month, or 77,000 more jobs per month. To get these kind of economic outcomes doesn't require, expansive government programs and expansive government spending, but really just maintaining the level proportionate to the size of the economy that we were at even before the Recovery Act spending kicked in. Now, to be clear that the government spending is not a panacea for all the economic challenges that's faced by the United States in the recovering from the Great Recession and dealing with the problems that we had even before the Great Recession, rising inequality, problems of job quality and incomes. But it's clear, and we can reasonably presume, that the economy would be in a much better place had we not had nearly 3 years of fiscal austerity.
Thanks, Adam. This is Michael Linden. I'm the Managing Director for Economic Policy here at CAP. I'm just going to build a little bit off of what Adam said and go through a little bit where that austerity came from. It's a good day to remember how much we have already cut from the federal budget and how far we as a country have moved down the path of austerity. From 2010 to 2013, real per capita federal government spending has declined by about 8%. That is the largest three-year decline in federal spending in real per capita terms since the demobilization from the Korean War. Now, that is a combination of several things. One, it is the expiration of measures designed to stimulate the economy and produce job growth. But it is also new active spending cuts put in place beginning in 2011 that have cut especially what we call discretionary spending down to levels that we haven't seen in quite some time and headed towards even lower levels. This is particularly important because the reason the government is shut down at this moment, the reason we don't have the jobs day numbers, the reason we're on this call, is because Republicans have been unable to or unwilling to allocate funding for the federal government, this exact kind of funding, the discretionary funding. And it's important to note, as Tom mentioned at the top, how far we've already come in negotiating down to a very low level. In January 2009, when President Obama was first elected several months later, he put out his first budget. And in that budget, he had allocated or envisioned about $1.2 trillion in discretionary funding for this coming fiscal year, 2014. The continuing resolution that has been agreed to by Senate Democrats and that House Democrats say they would vote for if Speaker Boehner would put it on the floor has $986 billion in it, a nearly 20% decline from what the president originally envisioned just a few years ago. So, the austerity that we have engaged in is quite real. We can measure it. And as Adam said, it has a real impact on jobs. And, we thought this was a good opportunity this day when we don't have jobs numbers to just take a step back and say, what would this day look like if we'd taken a slightly different path? So with that, I think I will ask the operator to open up the line for questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Once again, it is star 1 for questions. I'll pause for a moment to allow everyone time to signal. And again, that is star 1 if you have a question. And a final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1.
All right, great. Well, we must have done a great job just explaining the methodology then. If anybody has any other questions after the call, please feel free to just drop us an email here at CAP. My email is APURSE@AmericanProgress.org. We'll be sending out that the full report and all the details and all the charts right after this. So thanks for calling.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. Again, thank you, everyone.